All right, let's go ahead and pray. God, we thank you for your faithfulness in the midst of the storms, wind, and waves of life. Grant us your peace and empower us to live lives worthy of the calling that you have for us. May we be bold to see you and follow your will, recognizing that you will never leave us and that you will always be with us. Amen. You know, it's exciting to be part of the body here at Ephrata Church of the Brethren. I've been here for a little bit over 2 years, and I've been blown away by your faith and your faithfulness and your relationships with Jesus and with one another. God has been doing some amazing things this past year, and many of you have followed Jesus and allowed the Holy Spirit to take control of your lives, and you have just lived into what God is calling you to be. Today, we're going to be starting a new series called Out of the Boat, and throughout the series, we're going to hear some challenging words from God that I pray will compel us to move forward in our relationship with Him and with one another in a bold way so that the world might see a little bit of heaven in and through us. As I get older, the years kind of run together a little bit more. I know some of you are thinking, you are so young, Brian, how can you possibly be doing that? But I'm guessing it was about 8 or 9 years ago. It was the day before Memorial Day, and we had like a row house of about 5 townhouses, and we told everybody that we were going to get together, and we were going to have a big Memorial Day party at like about 4 o'clock, you know, like most people do, in the afternoon, hamburgers, hot dogs. Actually, I was cooking steak with like gorgonzola on it, and it was really good. So I was all excited about this. And on that Sunday afternoon, I got home, and I was kind of looking at my backyard, and I'm like, our deck is not big enough to house, like, these 20 people that are coming over. So many of you who know me by now will say, well, Brian's going to remedy this situation by doing what? Building a deck, okay? So the next day was the day that people were going to come over. And so that night, as I'm sitting in my bed, thank goodness for smartphones, I started looking up all the lumber I needed, how to build a deck, since I had never done it before. And so I started looking at, and what I did is that next morning, I got up at 6 o'clock. I made 4 trips over to Lowe's and back because my Toyota Corolla could only handle so much lumber at a time. And at 9 o'clock, I started building this deck. What time was the dinner? 4, right. So 9 o'clock, I start building this deck, and I'm building this deck, and by about 12 o'clock or so, I have the frame of the bottom of the deck done, right? The joists were hung, whatever you call those things, and you know, I had everything ready to go, ready taken care of, and then around noon or so, I start laying the decking, actually, on this. This is about a 14-foot by 10-foot deck, right, that I was building, and so I did all that, and wouldn't you know, at 3:30, kid you not, I was done. No one else helped me. Now, I know you're waiting for the moment where somebody falls through my deck that evening, but that never actually occurred. That never happened. But I have to say that there are times in our lives where it really feels good to do something that we didn't think we could do, doesn't it? I mean, those moments in which you go and you finish school, and that's just an amazing thing that you've done, or you're doing something on your job that you never really thought you could do, and you actually get it done, and it just is something that excites you, or it's building a deck, right? Or it's running a marathon. Somebody crazy on a Friday night, we had a young adult event, and somebody crazy put there that they were going to run a marathon this year. That's just absolutely nuts. I don't know who did that. But it was Kristen, that's right. She could actually probably do that. But we do these things, and whether starting your own business or running a race or building a deck, we do these things that we didn't think that we could do, but we end up doing it, and it just absolutely feels amazing, doesn't it? And we do it. We go through the struggle, and we endure, but in the end, we definitely make it. And I know there are things for me to do in this world that God has called me to do, and I believe there are things in this world that God has called us as a church to do, as a body of Christ to do. I know sometimes I'm not going to like it. Sometimes I'm going to fail at doing it. Sometimes I'm going to be afraid, and many times I'm just not going to be equipped or feel that I'm equipped to do what God called me to do. But we are to be convicted and have courage and faith that we can do them. Now, I know there'll be times in which we need to anticipate what the Holy wants for us. And friends, it's in those times that we need to take a leap of faith, knowing that we can never falter if our faith is in Jesus. Can I get an amen for that? One of the most important and powerful texts is the scripture that we're going to look at today. We have an amazing interchange between Jesus and his disciples. See, Jesus by now is in his full swing of ministry here on earth, and the disciples have witnessed him doing absolutely amazing things. John the Baptist had just been beheaded. Now, Jesus did not do that, but he was beheaded. John the Baptist was just beheaded, and many of those disciples that Jesus had were actual followers of John, and they didn't really have time to grieve over him. And they're immediately plunged into this like feeding of the 5,000, 5,000 men and more women and children to boot. They were gathering up their baskets, these 12 baskets and fragments over, and they were trying to quell the crowd of people that were pushing in on Jesus and wanted to proclaim him as king. And in verse 45 of this book of Mark, it says that Jesus sends them on ahead of him in a boat. Now, the Greek is actually quite forceful here. It really means he compels these disciples to go on ahead of them. And it's almost like he forces them to say, get out of here, get on the boat, and I want you to go ahead and cross to the other side. And Matthew, it says that Jesus kind of dismisses them, right? And he goes up into the mountain to pray. Now, you know, we could ignore this kind of part of Scripture. Everybody likes to go to the part where Peter is walking on the water. But this part is really important for us this morning. We could ignore this verse and see it as just kind of the context, setting the context of this next episode that God has for us here this morning. But I want to share some very important things that we can learn just for these few verses. First, Jesus is genuinely concerned for the welfare of his disciples. I mean, they need rest after all that has happened, right? So Jesus sends them on ahead, away from the crowd and the demands of the people. I think we all need to learn how to take time out from the demands of others and the demands of this world. Amen. I have to admit, Jen was over the week between Christmas Christmas and Easter, that'd be a long week. Between the week of Christmas and New Year's, Jen's grandparents, they are married, have been married for 70 years, and Jen went up to visit them in Canada, and Caden was with her mom, and I had the home alone on Christmas Day, and the TV was off, the phone was put away, and it was just Max and I, guys' night in. And it was one of the most wonderful days. It was quiet and it was silent. I had time to pray and think. Not that I don't pray and think when Jen and Caden are there, right? But I had time to think and pray. I think God gives us these moments away from the crowd, away from all of the things in life, so that we can slow down enough to hear God's voice, because in the midst of the busyness, we can kind of lose track of that. I think God provides us those deep spaces so that we can breathe deep and focus in on what's really important, namely being followers of Jesus in every way. Second, the disciples obey, and in obeying them, they will, in fact, come face to face with the storm. Now, we have to learn that, right? I mean, obedience to the will, to the word of God, does not guarantee a quiet life for us. Right. In fact, it may lead us through the storm. But remember this, the storm was not unforeseen by Christ. And there's a lesson that could only be learned by these disciples in the midst of the storm that day. And I hope and pray as we kind of go through this message that you will learn that lesson as well. Thirdly, Jesus had not forgotten them even while they were praying. In verse 46, he went up to a mountainside, and obviously it enabled him to be alone to pray, but it also enabled him to even possibly see the disciples in the boat. If you have ever been to that area of the country, the Sea of Galilee, you can actually be up on the mountainside and see a lot of the Sea of Galilee. And so it's very possible that as Jesus was up on the mountain, he could probably see all of them. Right? I mean, Jesus was probably praying for, you know, to God, praying for himself, but I'm also sure he was praying for his disciples as they were going across the sea to the other side. Jesus watches over us even in the storms of life. And that's what happens in verse 47 and 48. We learn that the disciples are caught in this storm. The wind comes up against them, and in their little boat, they're being buffeted around by each side by the waves. They're struggling for all their worth to keep the boat on its course. Jesus comes walking out on the water towards them, and they know that the story shared what happened in the fourth watch of the night. So this is like 3 in the morning, and the scripture says that Jesus was about to pass them by. Now our understanding of English would assume that Jesus is just going to kind of walk right past them, right? He's going to kind of race them to the other side, but that's not what is meant here. To pass them by is actually an Old Testament phrase pointing to the self-revelation of God. And so Mark points us to the fact that the reason Jesus comes walking on water was not just to show the power of God, rather it was to reveal who he was to the disciples. Reveal to them that he is in fact God, he is in fact holy, he is in fact the Son of God, the Messiah of all. And in verse 50, the disciples are terrified, and that's hardly surprising. I mean, they fail to recognize him because they don't expect him to come to them, right? I mean, after all, they've left him on the shore many hours ago. They didn't expect him, and they certainly didn't entertain the idea that he would be walking on water. In fact, Mark says they think he's a ghost. Their fear is real. And it's clear to Christ because Jesus speaks to them. And note, in the middle of this phrase, he uses this word, I am. It is I am. This phrase, again, points to the self-revelation of God. These words, I am, come in between these words that Jesus spoke to take courage and to not be afraid. And friends, it's only at this point where the voice of Christ is heard, the word of God is spoken, that the disciples' eyes are opened as the one who is coming on the water, walking towards them. They can't see that it is Christ before because their eyes were, their hearts, their minds were worried about the wind and the waves, not expecting Jesus to come. They had failed to recognize him before. Now, this is where there's a difference in the account of Mark that we've been looking at and the account of Matthew. See, Mark, you know, he likes to condense everything down. Mark goes right to the end, right? And he says, you know, Jesus came walking, there was a ghost, everybody was terrified. It is, don't be afraid, it's I. And then Jesus climbs in the boat with him, and then you're done. But Matthew has this whole interchange between Peter and Jesus that's important for us this morning. In Matthew, Peter, praise God, recognizes Jesus. And not only does he recognize him, he has faith in him. And so Peter calls out to Christ in the midst of the storm. See, courage alone is not enough to walk on water. Courage must have wisdom and discernment along with it. And that's why Peter calls out to Jesus. And he calls out to Jesus and tells Jesus, hey, if you want, you tell me to come out to you and I'll do it. And that's why Peter calls out to him to get out of the boat. Peter wanted to go to Christ, right? But he would not and could not go unless Christ called him to do so. Why did Peter ask such a question, right? I think Peter knew that no matter how dark the night, how high the waves, how strong the wind, or how wet the water, it was better to be out in the water with Jesus at that time than it was to be inside the boat. And Jesus says, come. Peter does. He obeys. It took faith and courage to climb over the side of the boat. You know, we don't know how long Peter walked towards Jesus, or if he was like a kid, I mean, standing out in the middle of the ocean on water, kicking around and playing in the water. We don't know what happened between the time he got out of the boat until the time in which he started sinking. But stop for a moment and think about what Peter had just done. There were and are all sorts of reasons for Peter to not get out of the boat in the midst of the storm. I mean, you can't walk on water. I mean, that's impossible to do, right? I mean, you're going to look foolish. You're going to get wet. You might get, you know, you're going to be seriously injured. It's dangerous. You know, the boat is the safest place to be. I mean, you're needed in this boat, right? I mean, you need to help us get all the water out. I mean, you can imagine the other disciples. What are you doing? We need you here, Peter. We need you to help us fight this storm. I mean, you're putting too much faith in whoever that is out there calling you to come on out. But friends, there's only one reason why Peter got out of the boat. It's because Jesus had said, come. There's no other reason to climb outside of the boat and to walk on water. Everything said to do the very opposite, but Peter obeyed the command of Christ. The reality is that no one else in that boat obeyed. They sat there cowering in fear, blinded by the fear of the storm. Those other 11 remained terrified in the boat and never experienced walking on water. Only Peter did. You see, you remain in the boat, and you'll never know what it's like to walk on water with Jesus. And the truth is that only the call of Christ could make that possible. And that's why Peter asks the question. Then it all goes horribly wrong for Peter at this point. It gets really bad for him. Right, and for some reason, this is the part that most people focus on when we get to the scripture, how Peter's faith failed him. Yeah, but see, it didn't fail him until after he had already been walking on the water. And let me ask you a question. Have you ever played that game, Would You Rather? Anybody? Like, I do this with Caden all the time. Okay, here we go. We're going to try this. So, would you rather eat a worm or have a tarantula on your head? Okay, would you rather eat a worm? Raise your hand. Okay, would you rather have a tarantula on your head? Oh, that's about half and half. All right. Okay, would you rather go skydiving or scuba diving? Okay. Would you rather go skydiving? Let me see your hands. All right. Would you rather go scuba diving? Wow, that's like really, really close. All right. Would you rather walk on water towards Jesus and possibly sink, or never get out of the boat? Would you rather walk on water and be with Jesus and possibly sink? Come on. Let me see the hands. All right. This is one of those Sunday school questions. So, you know, when you're asking questions, what's the answer, everybody? Jesus. Okay. So would you rather walk on water and have possibly sinking? Or would you rather stay in the boat? All right, good. All right. Oh, my God. We're going to have a lot to teach, a lot to learn here. Yeah, see, Peter looked around as he was walking. He looked around, and his eyes move off Christ, right? And it gets on the wind and the waves, and what happens? He begins to sink, right? And he began to doubt the reality of what was actually happening in that moment, and everything began to unravel around him. Right, he begins to listen to those voices in his head, or even those back in the boat. What was I thinking? I mean, I can't walk on water. I mean, I'm going to drown. What am I doing out here in the water? Right, and immediately, again, remember that's a word Mark loves to use. Right, immediately, he yells, "Save me, Lord!" And Jesus does just that. In the midst of the wind, in the midst of the waves, in the midst of the water, in the midst of everything, of hearing those disciples in the boat yelling, "What are you doing?" Jesus reaches down and he picks up Peter. Peter had not doubted when he climbed out over the side of the boat. He had no lack of faith when he was walking towards Christ on the water. It was when his focus left Christ and went into the winds and the waves in his head that his faith left him and that doubt assailed him. That's when it happened. Friends, isn't that our faith story a lot of times? You know, we walk on water and we're loving it, but then we take our eyes off Christ and we start to sink. Sometimes we even tell Christ to go away because we love what's going on around us and we start to drown and we cry again and again and again for him to save us. And isn't that not us this morning? You see, the reality for all of us is that this world is a pretty stormy place. There are setbacks and opposition and unexpected obstacles that all of us have to go through that will shift our gaze off of Christ as we begin to sink and drown. And the reality is that there are people who are so quick to say, "I told you so." There are so many people who refuse to get out of the boat because the storms of their life continue to keep them in the boat, and they sit around just waiting to point out that other people are drowning because they stepped out in faith. Friends, listen to me this morning because this is a point that I really, really want you to hear, and I think the heart of this message. You cannot grow unless you get out of the boat and experience both the walking on water and the sinking, drowning experience, which leads you to cry out to Jesus for help. You cannot grow in your relationship with Jesus unless you get out of the boat and experience the walking on water and that sinking, drowning feeling, which leads you to cry out to Jesus. Peter needed to sink in order to grow. He needed to sink in order that he might move on to this next step with Christ. Listen to me. There were 5,000 men besides women and children who were fed, and they failed to recognize Jesus as the Christ. You see, by sinking and by being saved, Peter would never forget. He would never forget the experience of taking that one step of faith out of the boat and walking on water. He would never forget that fear in his soul when he began to sink and cry out for the salvation. He would never forget the hands of Jesus pulling him out of the water, out of that wet and experience, walking back to the boat. They had to get back to the boat, friends. Walking back to the boat with Christ. He would never forget what it felt like to have the arms of Christ around him, supporting them as together they walked side by side back to the boat. It was an experience that in the darkest moments of the storm, Christ came to save them from it. It is the sinking and the rescue that the eyes of the other disciples are then opened and that they confess Jesus as the Son of God. And that's the whole purpose of this experience for them. You know, one of the things we fail to see about the disciples in the gospel is that their faith and understanding of who Jesus was came and grew gradually. We kind of have this opinion that all of a sudden they knew everything about Jesus as soon as he called them, and they constantly were coming back and back to the same point time and time again, and each time their understanding grew deeper and deeper and deeper, and their eyes were opened up a little bit more and more about who Jesus was and why he came. But it wasn't until the cross and the resurrection that their eyes were fully opened as that Jesus was the Son of God and had a deeper understanding. And I would suggest that's the normal pattern of our faith, isn't it? That over a long period of time, we begin to understand that gradually eyes are opened and understanding is deepened. And at some point, we come to the saving knowledge of Jesus and we continue to grow deeper and deeper and deeper in our faith of him. We pray that eyes are opened, that hearts are transformed, that the Spirit continues to move in our lives. Now, friends, I think there's a couple lessons here for us. Obedience does not guarantee that we will escape diversity. Obedience may, in fact, lead us to walk through some severe storms. And when that happens, let us remember that Jesus does not forget us. He has not forgotten us. He has foreseen every storm along the way. When we least expect it, in the darkest moment of the storm, he comes to us, walking on the very waves, through the wind and the rain, through the very things that frighten us and buffet us, that he comes to rescue us and brings us to safety in our journey's end. Yet the danger is that our eyes will be so focused on the storm that we will forget and not be able to recognize him when he walks out. Courage requires discernment and wisdom. But when Christ calls us to get out of the boat and walk on the water, that's a call to obedience and faith. But remember, Peter had to step out in faith. There will be fear, but he still had to step out in faith. Christ called him to come forth, and he took the step. Yeah, we're going to experience great moments of faith, right? Walking on water, but we are also going to experience those moments when we're sinking and drowning. It is in those moments that we cry out to Christ to come and grab us, that we grow. Because when all else fails, when there is no hope except him, he comes and lifts us and he saves us. He brings us back to safety and takes us to the place where he originally intended us to go. So would you rather have a sinking experience, having walking on water with Christ, or would you remain in the boat? There will always be reasons to stay in the boat. There will always be reasons. There will always be voices telling you how foolish you are, how stupid you are, how dangerous it is to step out in faith and walk on water. And there's only one reason to get out of the boat and to walk on water, because Jesus tells us to. That's what this year's going to be about. This morning, there are some of you here that Christ is clearly calling you to leave your comfort zone and come to him out in the water. You know it because you have heard him the last week, the last month, the last year. And this is a moment of decision for you. God is calling all of us to leave the confines of this building, to be voices of love and light in this world. He's calling us to leave the comfort zones and be a bigger part of the community in which we live. He's calling us to reach out to the schools that are just down the hill from us. He's calling us to be aware of the needs of others and that we can, not just in life groups, but that we actually seek out one another and we care for one another and we lift one another up. God is calling us to be ready to experience the holiness and the mystery of God when we come to worship. Ready, not just going through the motions, but actually ready to understand and to be have the Holy Spirit just fall upon us and worship God in a new way. God is calling us to serve more and to give more, to die to self more, to live for Jesus more. God is calling us to stretch beyond what we think is possible and take leaps of faith with our discipleship and with our fellowship, with the mission that God has given us to connect and to grow and to live and to radiate. And that means we need to get out of the boat. It means taking that first step. Brother, you can stay in the boat if you want. If you want, if that's your choice. But there's no guarantee that you're going to be safe there. Or you can step out in faith and walk on water into the arms of Christ. Listen to him. Take courage. It's I. Don't be afraid. Come. I mean, are you going to answer that? I mean, what do you have to lose, right? I mean, you won't ever experience walking on water if you don't do what? Get out of the boat. And that means risking and answering the voice of Christ to do something great, something magnificent, and something that will allow you to be a light in this world. Let's pray together. Holy and gracious God, we thank you so much for your love and for your grace. We thank you for the hope that you give us through your son Jesus. And God, we know that this story of you and Peter and the disciples just ring so deeply in our souls because, God, we can be like so many people in that story. We can be like the disciples and just kind of sit in the boat and just be so afraid of everything that's happening around us that it paralyzes us to do nothing. Or God, we can be like Peter, taking a bold step out, leaving our closest friends behind and just doing what you have called us to do, even if it means it being uncomfortable and it means being difficult. God, you've called us to do it. And so we step out in faith, and God, may we learn that the distractions around us are just distractions, that our heart and our mind are to be focused in on you, that our very calling is focused in on you, and that when we seek you and when we focus on you, Lord God, then wonderful and amazing things happen. We get to walk on water. And we're not alone, because you are always right there with us, walking alongside of us, celebrating with us, challenging us, and loving us. So God, may we not fear. May we never fear of what the storms will bring and when they will come. Because we know, Lord God, all we need to do is cry out for help. And you are there with your hand outstretched, your arms outstretched, ready and waiting for us to come to you. For we pray this in the powerful and the holy and the wonderful name of Jesus the Christ. And all God's people said, amen.